waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.
Life in the fast lane.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So over the weekend, my email box filled with right-wingers who don't seem to understand what net neutrality is or what its departure would mean, but they know they're against it. They're against it because, well, it was something that happened under the Obama years. And look, I look at the emails and it was almost universal. Like there was someone behind it saying, point there, go. They were hammering me for being in bed with the Russians. Yeah. Because according to them, the Russians want net neutrality so they can steal our elections. You know, the elections that they didn't meddle in 2016, according to them. And while it's fun, you know, a little bit of discourse, the sad thing is that there's very real consequences to ending a free and open internet. And here to talk about what a departure from net neutrality might look like for small businesses, I've asked Angela Simon to come talk with us. She's the communications director with the Main Street Alliance and the Main Street Alliance Action Fund. Angela, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much. Sorry about that. We're having some technical difficulties on my end.
Anytime you deal with live radio, you have those things. But here's the thing. You know, you look at this and all of the voices who are were supportive of ending net neutrality and basically handing over control to the ISPs, I've been hit with this idea. What's the Russians? And I'm going, no, the Russians don't. They may want that, but we should want it too because it's dangerous to business, isn't it?
It's absolutely dangerous to business, Rick. And I think it's kind of funny that the other side is arguing that this benefits the Russians, given that Russia is a prime example of a place where internet censorship and true government overreach routinely leads to all sorts of problems on the internet. Net neutrality fundamentally is about anti-censorship. I like to think of it as the First Amendment of the internet. And for small businesses, that really means that they're able to reach the whole world as a customer base with their products freely and openly. And it really means that having an open internet, having net neutrality means that they have a chance to compete with the big guys. Taking away those rules, taking away the net neutrality rules, that is, returns us to a time when a handful of internet service providers, Verizon, AT&T, and Comcast, are really acting as digital robber barons. They're charging people, $100 a month at your home for internet access, but then they would be allowed to turn around and double dip and ask businesses to pay a reverse toll in order for their products to load quickly to get in the fast lane on the internet.
Yeah, but that's a great gig if you can get it. I mean, honestly, truthfully, I don't blame Comcast and AT&T and Verizon for wanting this. This is a huge boon for the CEOs, for the investors. I mean, this is great for their business. Now, the rest of us are going to get screwed, but for them, this is going to be great.
Well, it might be great for them for their bottom line, but in reality, is it great for the U.S.? No, it absolutely isn't. Is it great for small business? No, it absolutely isn't. It means those companies are controlling what we see, how we pay, everything. They're controlling everything. And that in no way is American, and that is no way fair for small business or competitive in the long run. It really means that you're cutting down on small business's ability to compete.
I agree with you, but here's the thing. I mean, the ideal of what we stand for as a nation is to have a free and open internet. But the reality is, when it comes down to it, it's all about profits and business, and that's what's really important. And this is what business wants. Evidently, the big ISP folks, they want this. So I'm of the mindset, Trump was put into place with an FCC guy who's going to give it to him. We're kind of screwed, don't you think?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of outcry. Dozens and dozens of internet companies, the smaller guys came out against this. Huge tech companies came out against this. The only people that want these rules are those big guys that are going to be able to charge everybody left and right for access to websites.
I mean, I've been saying, you know, as a small business owner myself and someone who does, you know, my program on the internet, the reality is the end of net neutrality would silence anything that I do or anyone who does what I do almost immediately, because you're never going to be able to pay to be able to get to the speeds that that you would need to be able to reach people. I mean, you already see on Facebook a lot of what's happened. To me, Facebook is kind of what the future is going to be if we allow this net neutrality to go by the wayside.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's exactly right. Most small businesses would never be able to afford to enter the fast lane fast enough to get people to stay on their websites. There have been a couple of studies that show that consumers, when they go on a website, expect it to load in 2 seconds. If it's not loaded by 3 seconds, they exit out.
Yep.
Let's say you just started a clothing company. You want to compete with, you know, the boutique down the street that's maybe owned by Amazon, since Amazon's buying up everything. You will never have a chance. You can't afford those bottom lines. It's really bad for entrepreneurs. It's really bad for consumers. It takes away choice for consumers. You know, your abundance of choice is suddenly limited down to the few folks who can afford to pay that much to reach you online. It's generally a very aggressive step.
But again, it's all for the profiteers. And I go back to, you know, the conversation I believe we should really be having is, you know, you pointed out something, you know, which is absolutely true. If a website doesn't load within, you know, a second, two, three, you're moving on. Our internet in this country is slower than, you know, I guess we're like, what, 15th, 16th now in the world with internet access speeds. The real discussion should be, how do we invest in the infrastructure and more choices and more providers to get us the speeds and the competition that they claim they want? To get us, you know, up to, I don't even want to be one or two. You know, five would be okay for me.
That's right. And, you know, that's one of the common arguments in favor of eliminating net neutrality rules, right? These big companies come out and say that it means we can't invest more in infrastructure, and it means that we won't have as much to put into building our companies. But in fact, in 2014, shortly after the open internet rules were announced, Verizon, you know, had a spokesperson going to their stakeholders meeting where they're legally obligated to tell the truth. And he said, this isn't going to hinder any of our investments in Fios. It's not going to hinder any of our investments in improving the wires and fibers that we use for reaching customers. So really, that argument doesn't hold water.
I mean, it's about the money. I mean, it's like a lot of things. I mean, you think of, you know, just something very simple. Occam's razor. You go, the reality is it's usually the simplest answer. And the simplest answer is it's about the money.
It is absolutely about the money. There's no other way around it. This benefits, you know, three or four big companies. 9 out of 10 households in the U.S. have one or two cable options. We're all paying into these guys' pockets. And that's, they just want to get everybody to double pay.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
So what are you telling your members? I mean, because look, last Wednesday was net neutrality day of action. You know, there were, you know, 100-some thousand websites and, you know, numerous groups across the country and across the world who were saying, hey, U.S., don't be stupid. You know, what are you telling your member folks? What are you telling the folks with what are you telling the Main Street Alliance folks to be doing?
So there are a couple things you can do. Of course, you can call in to your congresspeople, and then the John Oliver Show, funnily enough, set up a website that makes it really simple to write into the FCC comment line. It's gofccyourself.com, and it directs you directly to where you can comment in support of net neutrality and against repealing those regulations. But we're also making the bigger picture argument that we need to be thinking about what kind of government do we need to support small business, and what do we want the government to do to support small business. And one of the things is to preserve regulations like open internet, like net neutrality, that enable competition, that level the playing field for small businesses, and that promote small guys stepping out on their own, starting a business online, being able to reach more customers than right outside their immediate community. I mean, that's what small businesses need more than anything, is just more customers.
Right.
And the internet makes that possible.
You sure they don't need tax cuts?
They definitely do not need tax cuts.
I mean, because, you know, I'm told,
all the time.
You just went against a couple of right-wing frames there. You know, you're promoting regulation. You're talking about more customers. You're not talking tax cuts and deregulation. What's wrong with you?
Well, I think, first of all, we shouldn't talk about this as deregulation. I mean, what we're doing is saying we don't want the government to regulate it. We want private companies to regulate the internet. Second of all, you know, I work with dozens of small business owners every day. Routinely, I never hear we need tax cuts. We can't pay as much in tax. We hear we need more customers, and we need more customers with more money to spend at our business. And, you know, that's a huge big picture thing that we're working on. But fundamentally, one of the ways that we want the government to promote that is to make sure that small businesses can reach customers everywhere.
And you don't have to pay for the access of getting to them. And again, this, to me, another one of these really bad ideas, but it's sold to us as freedom, Angela. This is, you know, we're taking back our freedom and our liberty. We should want this, especially from the Russians.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it cuts both ways. We want to be free from paying left and right for basic internet access. I mean, like you mentioned, in Canada, in the EU, in Chile, in Albania, there are net neutrality rules to prevent companies and prevent the government from strangling the internet, from deciding what people see and when. You know, we don't want to end up in a position like Russia and China, where a couple of folks are deciding what everybody can see. I just don't see how that's democratic. I don't see how that's good for small business. I don't see how anybody is in favor of that.
No.
You know, it's baffling to me that people who are so in favor of choice, or I want to say choice in quote marks here, choice and freedom and open internet, all of it in quotes, are really making arguments to these big giant companies that have no interest in their well-being, but really in their own pocket.
I mean, again, it does come back down to the simplest answer, which is about the money. And as my grandfather always said, if a rich guy is going to pull a buck out of his pocket to tell you you don't need something, you better spend two to get it. And I look at the amount of money that Comcast and AT&T and Verizon and their lobbying arms have spent on this, and it is obscene.
It's obscene. And you really have to think that the chairman of the FCC right now, Ajit Pai, he comes from Verizon, a background with Verizon. He's very openly pro-merger, very openly anti-regulation, anti-good regulation. So that's the driving force right now behind this attempt to repeal. What's really nerve-wracking is that not only does he want to remove the 2015 Open Internet Order, but he also wants to remove the FCC's ability to follow up on the laws, to make sure that companies are obeying internet laws.
Yeah, to enforce anything. Because, you know, why do we want a government agency that has an enforcement arm?
Exactly. That and to prohibit them from, in the future, reversing some of this. So it's a double threat.
Yeah, so last question I've got for you, Angela, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to take, if this is going to be saved, and look, I'm a little pessimistic, because as you pointed out, a former Verizon lawyer who, once he's done being the head of the FCC, will probably, like, you know, all good swinging door agencies, end up back somewhere in that industry. You know, he wants to make a good living at the end of it. I'm not, you know, all that hopeful that this doesn't end, but what are we having people do? What can help us maintain and save this?
Like I said, you can go to gofccyourself.com, submit a comment. You can email the FCC directly. I think there's a link on that website as well. You can speak out to your congresspeople. The Net Neutrality Day of Action that happened last week was a really good opportunity. I'm sure in the future that there will be similar opportunities. This issue isn't going away. It's really critical. And, you know, like, Pi wants to make a good living. He's making a great living. We all want to make a good living. Small business owners want to make a good living. I mean, that's like fundamental to the American dream, that we all want to be able to prosper if we work hard and participate in our communities and engage on the civic level. But when we give big mergered companies so much power over something as fundamental as the internet, we're really reducing the people's ability to do that.
Yeah, and just so you know, the GoFCC yourself site took forever to load.
Well, there you go.
Just saying. Angela, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the thoughts.
Thank you so much.
Would love to talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
great talking with you. Again, if you want to check out their website, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Highly suggest, go FCC yourself or the one that I used, dearfcc.org, to make your comments and have them heard, seen, and possibly published in the Federal Registry along with your home address, your phone number, your place of employment, and as Victoria said, your bra size. There you go. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. 7 years and I'll go to work at night. I got no time for living, yes, I'm working all the time. It seems to me I could live my life a lot better than I think I am. I guess that's why they call me making the blue blood see red. The Rick Smith Show.